for blessings of blood and sent throughout this law, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sangha, and Gacchami, and Dhuti, Nambi, Tati, Nambi, Sama. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Sarana, Gacchami, Dhuti, Nambi, Tati, Nambi, Sama. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangha, Sarana, Gacchami, Dhuti, Nambi, Tati, Nambi, Sama. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Do it now, for the noble truth of suffering. Do it now, Sanghaya, for the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Do it now, Yodhaya, for the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Do it now, Yodhaya, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All four missions are transient and each other. All four nations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Former is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, the Dharma Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to us for the day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths to self-purification. May they all find simplicity, the joyous and practical life. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By my compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that learns no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path,
thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I am most deeply bound to train myself. With this meditation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all the laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this presentation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave forbidden precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry to correct the error. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I leave you now and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Jutiyamati Tatiyamati Sama. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is a name of the key to the day of awakening. For willingness to awaken from deep sleep that invades a new day, there must be no willingness to do that. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. And the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. your spirit to the friend. If anyone is suffering, it is more important than anything. You will end suffering. If anyone is suffering, it is not more important than anything. You will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over and in suffering. We are not here to create and hold to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Let's see, I am just seeing so much. I'm in like 15 workshops. So I don't know, as I put my hands up, it's just kind of one of those, I don't think it really matters which one, right? Because it's all the same thing.
All the same thing.
Yeah. I've been having a lot of those experiences lately where, I was making a recording yesterday where I said, okay, get ready, because I saw something brand new and it's not going to sound new. But essentially it was this, which is, I truly think that, you know, there's all this stuff about, like, your life's purpose and, you know, what you're, da-da-da, all of that, which feels very unhelpful. And I've, you know, read, heard a number of things which I think are really spot on, which is that one of the things that's required if one wants to achieve, especially something that's kind of difficult or extraordinary or whatever, is a burning desire.
Mm-hmm. Burning desire.
Burning desire. Like one example of someone like that I've heard is often talked about as Henry Ford, who was like, I'm making a car. And how he would remind himself regularly, like, I'm making a car. Not because, like, wait, what am I doing? But because, well, what I got to yesterday is, I project he needed to be in the conversation of making a car. Because the default conversation, I think, for most of us, is the condition conversation, which is just a meandering, wool-gathering, like, blah, blah, takes us all over the place and completely dilutes, mm-hmm. however you want to say that, where we're headed, what we truly want, our greatest heart's desires, all of those things.
So it feels like you're making the distinction between having a purpose and having a focus.
Yes.
It gathers you into the what would otherwise be the scatter.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the other, the scatter.
Yeah, exactly. And so the brand new thing I saw, which wasn't going to sound new, is that I think for me that is getting out of the condition conversation. That's the car that I'm building. Mm-hmm.
So every day to remind yourself.
Exactly.
But I do hear in this life.
Yeah.
Because I get out of the conditioned conversation.
And to be in that conversation.
To be in that conversation.
And possibly, this is a transition, we'll see, you know, but it's such a kindness. Mm-hmm. Because the default to be in the other conversation is so huge. And I guess I just, as I was reporting about that, I was seeing that I just think there's a deep, deep sense of faith, trust, my experience, that getting out of the conversation is really the only piece that I need to bring to it, because it feels like what that creates is presence, and in presence is everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness, generosity, unconditional love, being for the good of all, that everything is in that presence.
Mm-hmm.
That is just all completely freely given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like, wow, it's so simple. The one focus is getting out of the conversation, and everything else is there for the taking.
What we do, what happens when we don't do anything else. So get out of the conversation. So my job is to get out of the conversation. We cover our building. Get out of the conversation. And everything else is available to me from life.
Yeah.
Once I'm available to life.
Yeah. And it just makes it, I'm going to say again, a lot of shuffle, and there's such a theme throughout so many recordings, my own group discussions, radio shows, getting over how we feel. And it seems like that's what I project. So there's Henry Ford, like he's building a car, right? And he's still sick. Well, that's okay. He can still sick, but he's still building a car, or he can be grumpy, or irritated, or angry, or, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still building the car.
Mm-hmm.
And how helpful that is to have that focus to assist us to get out of how I feel. Because I feel like without that focus, without something we could say greater to serve, we quote, self-serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the self-serving is just as human creatures, it seems to be, anyway, in my experience, like, what do I want to eat? What do I want to listen to? What do I want to watch? How do I want to feel? I want to be warm. I want to be cold. I'm cool. I don't want the mosquitoes. That's without that greater awareness, that greater pointed focus, like you were saying, that one point of focus, that's what seems to be the default, is to hold self-serve.
And every sentence you say to them, that must have started off.
Yes, exactly. And it's miserable. And the most miserable thing about it is that the confusion of why is it miserable? Because I want to get what I want to eat, and I want to run, and I want to. Isn't that going to lead me to what I want?
No.
Yeah.
Let me see if this resonates with you. This is what most of you are having to your computer recorder. I'm going to say something new that isn't going to sound new. It feels like. In my experience, conditioning will want to call it new, but I think what happens for me is there are things that are newly seen.
Exactly.
The same thing seen afresh.
Exactly.
Same thing seen in some different way.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think there's a book that some of us have been reading that I think kind of points at, that's what it feels like to me anyway, that there are two different places.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of the conditioned place, which is a track, and it's a whatever. And from that place, I will know that we're ending suffering, But I think what you're pointing at is that every time I drop into basically here, it's an experience of it, which is a completely different experience than, quote, that sort of dead, already done, knowing place.
I know the assignment.
Yeah, exactly.
But seeing it as, this is the conversation I want. Yeah, this is mine.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to guide me. How I feel.
Yep.
I can build that car when I'm looking. I can build that car if I feel good. I'm building that car.
Yeah. And when you say that, as I was recording about it, I saw that the recitation, if ending suffering is more important than anything, you'll end suffering. And what I realized is, I actually think you could put anything in there. If building a car is more important than anything, you will build a car. Like, period.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. And it matches with something that an awareness I had since I was itty bitty, which is that I just had this sense that anything I wanted to accomplish, I could. Which I didn't think meant, I'm so smart, and so, only that I often would use the example of being a doctor. I knew that if I truly wanted to be a doctor, I would be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But that you have to truly want it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that's the only way. I think there's plenty of people who maybe should be a doctor and, you know, blah, 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 or I should do this or I should do that and, you know, get it out. But that place where it feels like this one could have decided, essentially, and keeps going and doesn't turn back, it's a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So if you choose that you're going to do something with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
and you just stick with that,
mm-hmm.
it's going to happen. And that's just going to happen since you were just a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that, and one of the things I read about Henry Ford, I probably talked about this before, but this is my understanding. I can't remember exactly, but I think he set out to build the 8-cylinder engine at one point. And his whole team was like, stupid, can't be done, dumb, why are you doing that? Like, and these are the engineers, and he's not the engineer, I mean, sort of, but, you know, these are the experts, and, you know, so he, from what I understand, he sent off a huge group of them, like, do this, and they're like, so stupid. So they go, and they work on it, and they come back months later, and they're like, no, see, can't be done. He's like, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going like that until they do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just that place where, as I was reporting about it, it's like, okay, just that, I would suggest the only place that determination comes from is you're so clearly getting information from life. And so that's more important than what people think of me, than how much time it takes, than how much money it's going to cost. All those things that were, at least for me, conditioned to hedge our bets. Like, oh, is this still worth it? I don't know. This is a lot of time. This is a lot of money. Maybe I should cut my losses at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's, I'm not going back. I'm never going back.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening. Then it's just, it's a foregone conclusion, which seems very reassuring to me. Because it feels like in those places where the voices attempt to pull me off, there's just that, that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes staying, you know, we talk about holding on to the office, staying just looks like, you know, doing for a while, get over the fucking treading water.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's like, just keep my head up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep my head up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we stay, that's
mm-hmm.
really all that matters.
As long as you stay with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurs to me, too, that, you know, one of the gifts of practice in Sangha and Dharma and the mentor is that we, in my experience, we do forget to often say, can we done? And then there's that message of, go back and try again. Go back, not try again. Go back and work out again.
Yeah.
Go back and
And get back and
get back in again.
Yeah. Thank you for that piece, because that was another one, and I have talked about this before, but that place where, you know, you read about Henry Ford's life, or you watch Gandhi, or you read about Mandela or whatever, and no matter how long the movie is, no matter how long the book is, they can't depict the 4 trillion times, right? But then it's like, oh,
that's right.
Really? You know, really? But we know there were those times, but that's okay. As long as it's held within that figure,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've learned this in our experience, the refuge of the refuge on our own side.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're held there. The other thing that occurs to me, you know, I don't know if I can quote this right, but that notion of if you can do something 99% of the universe,
yes,
you
can. Exactly.
That came up for me too.
Yes, that's so true. That's right in there too. And even what's fun about that, kind of that mental process you're just pointing at, is that my experience is when times of clarity come around, it seems like every quote fits into it. Oh, and that's that. And that's what Sherry always says. And that one process sounds like all the same quote truths.
Yeah.
Is, you know, all pointing to the same thing.
And again, and you're talking about like drifting away. But when we drift away, we kind of lose track of those quotes.
Yeah.
The way we know that we're back is it's like, all right.
So true. Like, and I wasn't like memorizing those quotes, right? I don't have them all somewhere, which is how conditioning for me tries to take it away. Like, oh, that's a really good one. Okay. So that one, I'm going to really, exactly, okay, that one's going to go with 16-point font on the, you know. But that's such a good point. When that clarity drops in, they just flood in.
Mm-hmm.
Just right there. They never went anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all that. So exciting. Practice. Yeah, so what I was saying about that is kind of the how of keeping that awareness expanded so that there is that place that, I mean, literally anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's just been some concrete things that I'm doing every day that, you know, anything can happen in a day, you know, and meaning like I can get really identified, I can be just high on energy, but no matter what's going on, what I've sort of fallen into or maybe been guided to do is I write 3 love letters a day, and they happen right before every sit, and they're really simple. Like I, beneath the message board, I leave little pieces of paper, and I write on the front and on the back. Mm-hmm. I record it, and I listen to it. It could be 7 or 8 minutes. And then every night, I do some exercise, and I talk with the mentor, you know, to get a focus. And there's something about that keeps, it's almost, well, there's a couple things about it. There's always something to bump up against, mm-hmm. because I know I'm going to do that no matter what. So, for conditioned humans, it's been going on for a long time, so a lot of times we don't know where we are. But I'll bump into that. And the mentor always has obviously been in touch the whole time. Mm-hmm. And knows exactly what's been going on, and will ask, sometimes we'll just ask questions.
The mentor hasn't left. Yeah.
You know, the attention just goes somewhere. And it's given me, I realize I'm a lot less afraid, because it feels like there's these, maybe isn't really quite the right word, but it's like there's these little smaller spaces that I can just go out there and kind of go for it, rather than I think what happens is like trying to do practice well or right. I can just actually go out there and pay attention and kind of go for it, being here no matter what happens. Rather than try to keep something from happening or try to make something happen, because I know I'm going to be picked up at these different places if need be.
So what you're talking about is staying available to that bigness, to that bigger yeah. thing. And what you're describing is you have a practice 3 or 4 times a day, well, 3 times a day writing a love letter, and then talking about it or something, a focus for the day with a mentor. And given that happens, anything else can happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen because you've got your day structured in such a way that it provides like guideposts or things to bump into.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're not going to go too far astray.
Yeah.
It's what your experience is less fear because you know you're going to bump into those guideposts
yeah.
at least 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah. I was hearing another one when you were just saying that, I didn't realize how often I can do that. Conversation essentially about wanting to feel how I want to feel, mm-hmm. even through doing practice. Mm-hmm. And that seems less important when I know I'm loved. Mm-hmm.
It's less important to you want to feel a certain way when you know you're loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the clear experience with those practices.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's cool is, I've been working with this phrase that was reflected back to me when I was talking to a doctor who kind of looked at the whole person. He was using this phrase, recklessness coursing through.
Recklessness coursing through.
Which I look at as self-hate. Mm-hmm. But I also look at it as karmic. Mm-hmm. Something that's been going on that was modeled that, you know, from generations or eons or whatever.
It's society.
And what's great about that is if there's recklessness coursing through, it comes up, it mm-hmm. passes through, mm-hmm. but that's not, I don't have to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, again, it's one of those things you're seeing afresh, but like how much I own self-hatred mm-hmm. in all its various forms.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, it's sort of like, oh, there's recklessness coursing through.
Yeah.
And that art, and it just seems like that happens for everybody mm-hmm. in some form or another.
Mm-hmm.
And all we are is, in this case, it can come up, and it can come into that wider place, like, for example, with, like, the foot, or just fear in general. We're like, oh my God, you know, did you see it? I can't, why are you, can't stand, you know, just this. You're gonna, and it's like, or, you know, talk me into something. And And it'll come up in like a jitter in the system, but it's being held. And it's like, if I can just sort of stay here, and then it just slows down, the vibration lessens, and it just dissolves like anything that, well, I think anything that's not really real, and anything that's held in a larger awareness can't maintain that kind of disjointing energy.
So your doctor used this phrase, which is a great phrase, recklessness coursing through, and what you see is that that's a way of describing self-hate. But if self-hate, even self-hate is held within this larger space, then all the energy it comes up with, if you just can hold it in that larger space, it will eventually just dissipate, or course through.
Yeah, it can't, it's like that nothing holds up under scrutiny. Nothing, you know, when you give it that attention, it just can't, in the way the awareness attention, not identification attention, it only lives by the identification attention. So in that awareness, it just, the energy just gets dissipated.
So when it's held within awareness, it can't hold up. And the other thing that you said was, I know I'm love.
Yeah.
In the face of that,
something
else can.
That's exactly right.
Can't determine.
And what I love about this practice is the concrete tool. So it's like, growing up and hearing love is the answer, compassion, and it's just like I can hear that hit the identity, what does that mean? I remember even hearing tree hugger and feeling some judgment about that or whatever. But the practices help you see exactly what that is and what those things are pointing at. And I love that, because otherwise there would be no way for the authenticity to connect. The authentic human to connect to that, it would just be ego built up, But the practices, the love letters, the two-handed recording, the sitting in meditation is also an act of love.
Yeah.
It's like, brings you to the experience.
Right.
And then you can see what all the spiritual folks, all my spiritual heroes, are talking about that, about love.
And so it makes it not just a kind of a guideline or an aspiration, or a maxim or something like that, but it operationalizes it. Essentially, it says, if you do these practices, it'll bring you to this experience. You're not just, you're not kind of good anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And the last thing is, the other thing I think is so fun is kind of what I heard too in the last conversation was, life's on our side. So, if there's something that we want to do, something arises, and we give attention to it, life's like great. For example, even something like looking at a flower. If you sit there and look at a flower, so you might pass the flower, that's beautiful. And then you look at it, and you look inside it, and all the different colors, the intricacies, the little patterns, the little ecosystem, the tiny bugs that are living in, all of that. It's like, whoa, and life unveils what it is, the suchness that's living in there. The same thing can happen kind of with anything. So, I've been really paying attention to the foot in a different way or something I haven't been doing, and it's like things are being revealed. Simply, it's sort of like, hey, I'm doing this thing, I really want to pay attention to this. And it's like it's like you look at water or something like that, and it's glassy. And then it's like something rises up through the water, and then you can see, that was under there. And it's just dropping in little clues. And even the little things that I just have this little magical thing I can do now with the toe to help this one thing that's really hurting everything else. It's not an answer, but it's relief, and as the mentor said, it's a clue. And that's how life is. It's like one little clue thing after another. You just gotta stay, here with it.
So, what you're describing is so much, it's all about attention. Where you bring your attention. So if we really bring our attention to anything, then life wants to do is reveal it to us.
Which is, I think, is love. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And these are just sort of concrete ways to.
And there's more concrete ways to express and receive love.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just have to say to that about what we love about practice is the practical tools and the, you know, as opposed to the maxims. Well, love is the answer, whatever. So when I was growing up, the phrase was, they will know we are Christians by our love, was real big. To sing it a lot. And I was always a little puzzled by, well, what does that mean? You know? How do they know we are? Because my growing up, it wasn't that obvious. I don't mean that in a disparaging way at all. It was just like I couldn't see any, and here for the last month, I had somebody bringing me food out on the porch. In addition to all kinds of other tasks that I was relieved of, in addition to guidance all the time, all in the service of healing, all in the service of loving this person who is afflicted with this cold from hell, you know? And I had phrase kept coming through my mind. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Well, here it is. So I just had to say that because that is one of my most treasured things about why I've devoted my life to this practice. Yeah. Know, that it's just too, it's just so embodied that it can't be denied. Yeah. So
and it's too, it's not some sort of ostentatious show. It's just serving the needs of the moment and the person of the moment.
Exactly. Because you know what? There's not been any talking about it. Mm-hmm. There's not even any conversation. Mm-hmm. There's no, and we would even be hard pressed to communicate pleases and thank yous. Mm-hmm. You know, even the most basic communication. It's just so in the woven into the fabric of who we are. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. So let's see. There were two things I wanted to bring up. One was referenced a minute ago about how to get out of the conversation. And I read this image that was written in A Life of One's Own that has really been helpful to practice with. And the image was of being a policeman whose job it is just to kind of keep the street clear for whatever wants to come down. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I always had this image of, you know, the Ku Klux Klan can have a parade or PETA can have a parade. But all my job is to keep the street clear, because I'm the policeman in this image, keep the street clear so that whatever happens can happen. And that there's no reason to try to stop it or to push it or invite it or anything. We have no relationship with it whatsoever. And I found that so helpful because that to me is what we're practicing in meditation is being the container by which anything can arise and we don't have to cling to or push anything away. And it just, the level of freedom that I experienced in that changes dramatically my relationship with the thoughts that arise, the conversations that arise. Because holding that image, I can see that a conversation would be me engaging with them. And that's not my job. My role is this, the keeping the space clear. And I just found it incredibly helpful.
So in the video book and the image that's really struck with you is the image of the policeman, whose job it is just to keep the space clear for whatever arises and whatever needs to pass by. And then either trying to hold it back and resist it or inviting in or anything like that involves engaging with it. And that's not your job.
Wow.
And in meditation, your job is to keep the space clear.
And in life.
And in life. Your job is to keep the space clear.
That's a real, I'm so glad that just dropped in, because in meditation we get to practice it in the most simple form in front of a blank wall. But boy, in life, that same thing.
Yeah. Keep the space clear for whatever might arise. Mm-hmm. Without getting attached, either through rejection or grabbing onto whatever that might be.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing now as you're saying that is So something that has arisen that I find it really tempting to grab onto, and again, very helpful part of the whole practice, was it started coming up. It was a big insight that dropped in the day that we did what gets sacrificed when the human, when the karma is chosen. And it's what I think is referred to when the Catholics talk about the grace of compunction. One of those delicious, awful moments when you see the ugliness of karma and you really see it. And the metaphor that was just playing in my mind was an old Twilight Zone episode. And the title of the episode was called To Serve Man.
To Serve Man.
Mm-hmm. And these aliens come down and they bring peace on the to the Lord. Everything that the humans think they want, they get from these guys. And they turn over and now they're the head of their courts because they can resolve conflicts and they can make countries not fight with one another. And they have this document or something that's entitled To Serve Man, and the scientists or the skeptics are trying to decipher the rest of it because they don't know really what this is. And then the aliens start bringing people back to their planet to colonize or to immigrate into, you know, this other kind of utopian-like society. And so one of the skeptics finally decides, yeah, I think I'm going to go. And right as he's on the spaceship and the door is closing, his colleague runs to the spaceship and says, we've decoded it. It's a cookbook. So he's taking them out to eat them, right? Okay. To serve man.
Okay.
It's what they're all about.
Okay.
You see? Isn't that just chilling?
Yeah.
And that's what karma is. I mean, that's, to me, it's like, oh my God, that's what we are being sacrificed, and we don't know it. Because we think it's here to help us, to get what we want, to take care of us, and we this and that. And just kind of, come on, come with us. And it's a cookbook. I mean, you know, that's what I mean by the grace of compunction. It's like when you get that sinking feeling like, my God. Yes, talk about burning building. It's nothing. You're going to get eaten. You know, we are getting eaten.
Yes.
And that moment when you realize it, and it could really go to easily the dread of despair, but then it hit me, I'm not dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on that ship yet. You know, and so doing the Hubert Cure for so long, and the guy wrote an article about it not too long ago about it would behoove us to let go of things before we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? She was one of the newsletter artists, I think. And that's one of the things the Hubert Cure can give us the opportunity to do, is let go of things before we have to, because there's going to come a day when we don't get to choose.
Right.
It's not our choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that Twilight Zone episode kind of reminded me of. It's like, that's karma. That's the game we're in here, folks. And, you know, and I could imagine if that woman, the one who decoded it, ran around to the whole society saying, it's a cookbook, it's a cookbook. Everybody's son wouldn't believe her. Everybody's son would go off and, you know, don't go. You know, and in a way, that's what we're doing with our eyes. It's like, no, we're not going to get, we're going to do everything we can not to get on that ship and go away. And we know why. And, you know, and to me, it just engenders so much that burning desire. It's, you know, that I had to see it. Had to have some real hard seeing what the karma, how my colluding with it hurt, or had the potential to hurt my daughter and by extension my grandson. That, oh my God, mm-hmm. that was the wake-up call. Oh, my God, I didn't know. I didn't know. But now I do. And I'm still alive. And I can make a different choice.
So you have the opportunity to see the size of it and the awfulness of it. And that's a moment of grace, actually, to see that. Because now you know what you're up against, and you know what we put out in attention to sacrifice our lives. And so the burning desire is not to sacrifice your life, and by extension, the lives your life touches.
Exactly. And what a... So, getting back to my policeman image, I can see the tendency would be to close down and go to a place of, why are we in here? What is, kind of railing against God? Why is, I don't like this game. Get me now. I didn't sign up for this and all of that and all this. But because of practice, we have the tools to, and the practice to, nope, stand back. Let anything come by. Let any parade go down the street. That's okay. You can shake your fist at God. That's okay. But like what was just pointing at, that's not me. I don't have to the jitters. We can have all the jitters in the system we want. That's okay. I'm helping love.
So you can put the images together of the Twilight Zone and the policeman and see that. Seeing the karma, you don't have to do something with that. You can open up a space where it can relentlessly pass
right through.
And you don't have to hang on to it. And what was so interesting about that too is that one reaction if one saw that karma would be fear. Would be combat.
Oh.
You know? And what you're describing is no, it's stepping the prison pose because anything to target you, grab it.
Exactly. That's another great thing. Because the fear was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been there for the past, ever since I saw that. Clinging to guidance and clinging, over communicating. Okay, just one second. And it's really coming from a place of fear. But that's okay. That can march down the street too.
Yeah.
Because you're right, the tar baby energy is. It's like, I'm just not going to get engaged or too. The quote, when you think about all the quotes, kind of the quote that I found helpful is, one must let the play happen to one.
One must let the play happen to one.
I love that. So, yeah, the fear can be here too. Yeah. The dread, the guilt, the whatever, the joy, all of that. It's
mm-hmm.
Because we're the container that's holding the space down the street.
Mm-hmm. We're the container holding the space down the street. And even if we join the parade, it's okay to be part of it.
Yes.
Because we are helped.
Yes.
By that big
confidence.
Exactly.
By this guy. Exactly.
He loves us anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is that process of how far back can we identify?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do it. Yeah, that's fine. We can identify with this. Back a step, back a level.
Just very exciting.
Yeah. When you stick out a lot of time to look at the window and come up with these images and remember past twilight on that depression. But it's all in service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly know where to start or which one to pick, so I'll just pick the most recent right before I came here. I thought to myself, I really appreciate the remember to focus. I really appreciate that because what I realized when I was looking at it is that I know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the benefit of having stayed
mm-hmm.
on the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a theory anymore.
Right.
I know how to direct the attention. And so, and I know how, oh God, can you believe, it's a true miracle. I mean, everybody in this room knows the times that I wasn't going to and the injustices that were,
what do you mean in that?
We all know, hopping the fan too. I remember one time paying attention. I'm like, oh man, just last week he was talking about going AWOL. And then, I mean, this was years and years and years ago. And then, darn, you know, I just, it could have been me. You know, I don't judge. It could have been me. So anyway, just so grateful when to come down here to be reminded of. And to hear people's tools. I mean, I learn about it. So my experience too with love. I don't know what will have that first person we talked about practice was, but that thing of it disintegrates. Well, okay, so before I came down here, I was at church, and it was just fine this week, and it was fine, and but I still got resentment against someone else, and it's such a common, like, thing that ego can get me in, which is, it projects itself onto another human, or political party, or whatever, but in this case, it just happened to be a person in my family, and then it starts, before I know it, instantaneously to create a story about them and me. And, of course, it's been forever. It's always been, you know, it's never. And once again, I have to be the bigger spiritual person. You know, not spiritual.
So that's why you're a Christian by the mom.
This is loving, you know, and that is kind of the thing. And then, you know, the clue in church was an F-bomb came to my brain. In the middle of that, you know, and what I know is, then there's the, I can't stand this, and there's no way out. And so why go to the monastery? I mean, that's the plan, but really, you know, I'm late anyway because of these idiots.
The process is,
yes.
There's a projection to someone else,
right.
And then the projection, there comes this story.
Yes.
The story is going on forever.
Right.
It probably will never change.
Right.
You have to be the big spiritual person.
In order to
do something with this relationship that is really wonderful.
Actually, that is absolutely correct. And then I'm in it, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's really painful because now the story is being believed, and ego throws in, like it does if you're on that, when I sit. Like, there's just this belief of, I can't stand this, and it's going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the only reality, and there's no, I mean, yeah, I can go down, and I'm going to meditate. Except that thing that I started with, which is, I know that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I have sat enough time, I've come down to the monastery, I know it's only going to take, you know, 90 seconds to half an hour. You know, I mean, I don't know, but it's not going to take my whole lifetime. And that thing of concrete, all I have to do is get there, walk through the door, sit on the cushion, face the blank wall. That's it.
Wow. And so the antidote to that whole scenario is, and you prove it over and over and over and over and over again in your experiences, get there. Go to the door, sit down, be there.
Yeah.
And it will pass.
It will pass. And you know, and it comes, then it'll start to come and go. I mean, in my experience, you know, like how, and then then that tension will start to, like, the container, and then somebody will talk about something, and then, and I wasn't, by the time I turned around today, at least I wasn't identified anymore. Sometimes it can take me, you know, till the last person shares. But that thing that was just being described a couple of times, is that when we stay with that thing which we think that we can't, whether it's a month long laying in our hermitage. I mean, I remember the Huber cure. I was really sick one time, and for some reason, a monk called me for something. I can't remember if I needed to do something or they were going to do something. And they were like, I said, oh yeah, I've got the real flu or whatever. And they're like, oh, the Huber cure, this is what you do. You know, and you don't answer the call. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I say the right thing on the phone, and then I do it. And, but then the phone rings again, and I pull out, and that's it. Not to answer the actually not getting the phone either. Oh, okay. Then it's all okay. I love that. You know, like what the police image of the unacceptable, you know, that Ku Klux Klan inside or whatever. You know, that there's a container for it all. Oh, it's just so, it's helpful. And that for me, I was like, oh, how am I going to, when that person gets home, how am I going to, well, I know what to do. Just don't engage in the conversation in here. Because this tells me don't engage in that conversation with that person. You know.
So that's really important. So the conversation in your head,
yeah,
saying don't engage in the conversation with that person.
Right.
But the problem, of course, is the conversation in your head.
That's
right. And so some greater wisdom says don't engage in the conversation with your head.
And that's all I have to do. Just like sitting on the
phone. That's what generated it
all. Well, exactly. 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 Because if I'm not engaging in this, I don't know, but I'll let you know next week or whatever. Part of me is like, oh, come on, just drive away. because it then will have me, you know, if I just take off to the coffee shop or whatever. So the thing that that point of focus, I like my I'm here to not get caught in a story. I always liked those very holy things, like I'm here for union with God, which of course has kept me here and is still part of the truth of that. But to have a tangible, I've struggled with tangibles this week in our week of kind of practice, because one of the things I uncovered was underneath all of this financial stuff we're looking at is that I'm not allowed to receive and enjoy anything.
That's really large.
It was very large. And it's very true, actually.
I'm not allowed to receive and enjoy anything.
That's the crime. That's the crime. Yeah. And so when we picked something this week, the first thing I was going to pick was to take really good care of my car. Because I have this new car that I'm very ashamed that I have because I had to spend money on it. And we've been looking at money, and I'm not allowed to spend money on myself. And so, that's received. Well, no, then with this, I had to have it so I could spend it. But you can't, like, enjoy and celebrate and be proud and take care of it because you can't receive and enjoy it. And so I thought I would take care of it, you know, like clean it out. And I called and made an appointment to get the windshield. I had a crack in it because a rock hit it going through there. Last summer when Andrew was in radiation, I would drive back and forth here once a week and I got the thing. Anyway, so it felt kind of like, okay, I've got that on the calendar and I'm going to get it detailed, actually. Not just clean. I mean, I'm going to clean it. I'm cleaning it and cleaning it, but I'm going to get it detailed. Anyway, so but then it comes in and it says, well, you know, you haven't really been doing it. That's not it. That's not the thing I'm telling you to do. Well, last month you did good because you did it this way.
You.
And then it gets me sort of like, that's vague. Now it's like, well, maybe I'm not doing it. And maybe, so that's the right reason I like to just drop the story better than union with God today, at least, because they're the same thing, actually. But that it's very practical that if my focus is to not get involved in a story, there seems something more doable as I go home today. Don't get involved in any stories. I don't know, there's something about that. But all I have to do is what is in front of me to do, which is different than getting involved in a story.
And as someone said earlier, and really, it's really simple. Just like that. I just have to not get involved in the story. I don't have to come up with some way of appreciating and receiving.
Right.
And not get involved in the story.
Right. Just don't get involved in the story. I'm really going to. And I like the love letter thing too. You know, I'm looking at ways to expand my recording and listening practice, but I've always needed the way the devil has kept me from receiving my recording and listening practice is by telling me all the time I'm not doing it correctly. And So I like the love letter thing because you can't make a mistake in love. Mm-hmm. It's just not. I mean, that those two things of not getting involved in the story and residing in the world seem to be antidotes I'm going to try this week.
So the antidotes for this week are not getting involved. I'm not going to get involved in the story, and I'm going to
Turn to love.
Turn to love.
Yeah. Yeah, expand. I think I'll do some of those recording love letters. Because ego always does say, okay, well, we've done the love letter. Alright, we're doing money right now. Completely forgetting. I mean, this week has been one of doing love, actually, and kindness and gratitude and all those things. So, yeah. So anyway, it's just helpful to have the support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really to honor that person who stays. Because if you had not come through the door at 70% and listened to the conversation, you wouldn't be very long.
Right. Yeah. Year after year, when you're in the morning.
Decade after decade.
Yeah, when you're not inspired. Decade after decade. It's true. It's true. And I used to, you know, when I first came, I've said this before, but I was in my 20s and I would say, okay, I'm 33, like Jesus. I'm going to be enlightened and I'm going to have this, you know, union with God will be realized and I'll just float in the rest of my life and I'll just be that container, you know, all those things. Completely at that time not focusing on what is now my favorite thing is this is it. You know, I just didn't feel, you know, this is it.
This is it.
This is it. You know, and it's not having that ha-ha with the person in church. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. I mean, the sensations that arose, the willingness that simultaneously, the despair, you know, there's this way that where we're learning to hold really everything, not go for one or the other, not go for, you know, Gandhi or the Ku Klux Klan or Ha-ha or Trump, you know, that all of it is it.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is it.
And, you know, I wonder if that is what it is.
I just do every ride. That's truly my projection on Jesus. When he got really comfortable with this, with it. You know, people are like, death on a cross, I mean, do something. Say something. You know, this isn't it. The poems and the, you know, fuel, that's it. Hosanna and I is not alone on the cross, you know.
So
it's all it. And it's not, I do that. That's what I love most. So, right. Mm-hmm. That would maybe be because of receiving and enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth is, you know, one of those recordings, the truth is that which you've always wanted is happening right now. Wow.
Record that. I don't remember that. That which you've always wanted is happening right now. This is.
Yeah. You're not listening to a story.
You
are union with God.
Wow.
You are the piece of it.
It's all okay. You are the container. You are the union with God.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
So, there's so many great reminders in what everyone has said. So just quickly, that it reminded me, as people were talking, of that place of not only, so yeah, this is it. I've been using that phrase so much, this is it. And how it feels like not only can it be okay, whatever is here, but that in fact, there's almost a requirement to go through that, you know? So I was, the comment earlier, I forget how it was put, but it's so helpful, that place of like, you know, so something like, you know, you're here for a month is kind of a preparation for the big moment, right? And I had such a small example of that earlier this week where, I mean, my life changed drastically, like in a number of hours, where I had one plan, I was on one trajectory, and then I just realized actually can't do that. And I was, so I was getting sick, and I just wasn't sure how sick I was getting. And there was just no way to know that. There was just no way to know that. And it was just this kind of like flipping out of my hands, kind of slow motion. And the funniest thing was in that image, what showed up was, there's nothing anyone can do about this. Mm-hmm. No one. Kind of like a dying. Mm-hmm. Like there's no one that can save me from this. There's no one. There's just me stepping up, taking responsibility and surrendering. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And the really fun part was first that workshop. And then what I watched was like, you know, this is probably so good. This is just totally what needed to happen because I'm like, that's interesting. And I just felt like, you know what, that's not the portal through. The portal through was profound disappointment. Mm-hmm. And through the other side of that disappointment was just exquisite presence. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, yeah, see, now that really was what was supposed to be. Every point I just thought about that was the thing that was going to steal it.
Absolutely.
Instead of just being here.
That dental on the shoulder. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So we had the experience of getting sick, mm-hmm. but not knowing how sick.
Yeah.
And not knowing what that meant in terms of plans and getting it. There's no way to know. There's no answer for it.
No answer.
And the experience was a profound disappointment. Mm-hmm. But then the conditioning we had to take that was, well, this is just the perfect thing to have happened.
I'm so glad
that
happened.
What you call it?
Yeah.
That was a conversation we did not need.
Yeah, yeah. And that it gave me access to what was actually going on. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that's labeled, don't go here, mm-hmm. uncomfortable, don't like this,
right.
And just opening that present right up. Mm-hmm. And in that is everything. Mm-hmm. My life is in that. Mm-hmm. It's in those things that are labeled, don't go there.
Wow. So, the things that are going to don't go there, mm-hmm. that's really life.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did I get what you were
yeah, it was so, it was on the heels of Jesus being brought up, and I was just going to kind of report back, because often throughout my years here, I have talked, especially during Lent and around Easter, I have this karma cycle through regularly around, why didn't Jesus say something? You know, why didn't he, you know, get out of that horrible situation and all of that? And again, lying in bed throughout this whole thing and really looking at the whole letting go process, I had this conversion of really having my own experience of, or projecting on Jesus what the immense love that he was modeling, mm-hmm. and what was really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
When I wasn't listening to the karmic save your skin story, mm-hmm. you know, and could really look at it void of that film,
mm-hmm.
it was just a tremendous wow. The love.
Mm-hmm.
That training of the love that had been, you know, that would enable him to meet the most horrific human experience possible, we could argue, with tremendous love and poise and graciousness and deep, you know, everything that he brought to that. Yeah, and so it was a real, real blessing to have seen that.
So when you were in former days as a practicing Christian, you always wondered, you know, why at that last moment did Jesus not say something and do something to save himself? And so part of your profound experience of the last month was getting a sense of that surrender, getting a sense of that letting go enough, and the amount of love that required.
Yeah. And you know, one of the coolest things about that was that once that fell away, the karmic perspective fell away, I realized I had had that experience of I had seen the love for a lot of my growing up years, and that it had gotten covered over by this karma. And so it was really a returning. It was a falling away, and it was like, oh yeah, I knew this. I had seen this for years. I could try to think, when did it get covered over? And I think it was sometime in my 30s or 40s or something. I don't know, but I remember, and that had totally been just like, have I always? You know, and then when it fell away, I went back to that becoming like a child again. Mm-hmm.
So you realized that you had understood that love, you had experienced that love really, and then somewhere it got covered over by karma, maybe by doctrine too, or people trying to work it out, and then there was return to that.
I know, it's very cool. It reminded me of that, whatever that line is about, we'll come back to the first time and see it for the first time.
Yeah, we come back to where we began and in your place for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really beautiful.
Thank you all.